All right, so think of your very first memory. Got it? Pretty vivid, right?
Hi, this is Andrew from Portland, Oregon. My earliest childhood memory is about being 2 years old, and I locked myself in the closet in my house to hide myself from the babysitter because my parents were out to dinner, and the sense of abandonment was just too overwhelming for me at the time.
Oh, poor Andrew in Portland. So here's a question. Why does his brain remember that experience, aside from the fact that it was pretty intense? And why is much of our childhood kind of wiped out, if you think about it? Can you remember your 7th birthday? 8th? 12th? 4th? Joining us to explain the curious science behind our childhood memories and how they're archived is Patricia Bauer, professor of psychology at Emory University, and the lead author of a study that really looks at this closely. Welcome to the program, Patricia.
Thank you.
So we've been asking people about their earliest memories, and we've been getting some very, very interesting responses. I spoke actually to my 4-year-old last night, and I want to play the memory he claims is his first. But before I do that, what's the brain doing when it selects a first memory, do you think?
Well, that's a very complicated question, and I wish I had a succinct answer to it. The brain is gathering bits and pieces of information that were encoded at the time of the experience. So we sometimes think about memory as a file folder that you simply open up and you read off the contents of the file folder. But really what it is a very distributed representation, distributed across the entire cortex. And to retrieve a memory, what you have to do is recreate the pattern of activation that actually corresponded to the original experience.
Mm. All right, so I sat my 4-year-old down last night. His name is Ajax, and asked him a question. Listen to this little interaction here. All right. What is the first thing you remember in your life?
The first thing I remember is my life when you were watching the Super Bowl, and all the kids were watching the Super Bowl, and I bumped my head in the corner of the wall.
So you were watching the Super Bowl and you bumped your head?
No. You guys were watching the Super Bowl. I was not.
And then what happened?
I had to go to the hospital.
What did they do with your head?
They got me a shot, but I'm not scared of shots anymore.
That's good. Thank you for that story. So, Patricia, he's not scared of shots anymore.
That's an important development.
Yeah, you got that story, right?
Yes, I did.
All right. Now, here's the fascinating piece. We weren't watching the Super Bowl. What we were watching was the returns for Obama's reelection in 2012. But we were gathered in the bed in the exact same way in front of the TV as we would have been for the Super Bowl. So he's already kind of mixed two memories there as a 4-year-old.
Yes, and actually that is very illustrative of one of the differences between children's memories and adults' memories. So one of the things that adults do when we're encoding an experience, we tend to give it a specific time and place tag, as it were. It was the time that we were watching the Super Bowl. We were in the bed in our house in which we lived 2 years ago, etc. We give it a time and place tag that is one of the things that helps us retrieve that memory later on. Those tags tend to be something that children routinely omit from their memories. So it's easy then, therefore, for them to confuse when and where an event took place. And you can see how that would lead to later memory confusion if you can't identify the unique location or timing of an event.
Although he's so confident. I love that. And here, listen to this memory from a Phoenix, Arizona listener. When I was 2, my soon-to-be divorced parents had a fight. I checked with my dad, then walked out to the porch to comfort mom. Can you remember what went on when you were 2?
Well, there are enormous individual differences. The average age at which people identify their first memory, their earliest memory, is somewhere between 3 and 3.5. But within any group of adults, you have very large individual differences. So some adults will have memories from as early as the 2nd year of life. And others will say that their first memory isn't until they were 6 or 7 or even 8 years of age.
All right. Here's here's another one of our listeners who responded to the question, what's your earliest memory?
Hi, this is Thomas. I'm from Abington, Pennsylvania. My first childhood memory was a raging case of chicken pox when I was 2 years old. I had them so bad I couldn't walk. It sucked.
Now, that's a common memory, I would think, of your first chicken pox or measles, something like that.
Well, one of the things that's common is the trauma, and I'm putting scare quotes around the word trauma, but earliest memories tend to be affectively charged, either positively or negatively. So when you've had something that is very uncomfortable, scary in the case of an illness or bumping your head and having to go to the hospital, that tends to be something that is characteristic of people's earliest memories.
What is the brain doing by not remembering so much of childhood?
The neural structures that are responsible for forming memories are developing enormously postnatally throughout the first two decades of life, but certainly very heavily a lot of development in the first decade of life. So you have brain structures that are doing their job, but they're not doing their job very well. So you don't have the efficiency, and therefore you don't have the efficacy that we as adults have when we form memories.
Do you think there's actually a subroutine in the brain called childhood amnesia that is basically uploaded at about age 7?
I don't think that's what happens, actually. What I think is a much more organic process, that over the course of childhood, we're certainly forming memories, but we're also forgetting those memories at a more rapid pace than we forget them as adults. So although the structures are moving and functioning in a way that's very similar to adults, it's just not as effective or efficient. So I don't think there's any evidence to suggest that we have something that comes in and kind of undoes early memories or radically changes the way memory works.
But your research does show that there's a real turning point at about age 7.
Indeed, it does. So we interviewed a number of children. Many children had conversations with their mothers or fathers when they were 3 years of age. And then we invited them back into the laboratory at different points thereafter, so either 2 years later or as many as 6 years later. And what we found is that the children who came back when they were 5, 6, or 7, they had very good memories for the events that had happened at the age of 3. They remembered a lot of the events. In contrast, the children who came back when they were 8 or 9 years of age had forgotten most of the early events. So that age 7 seems to be kind of an inflection point that we see in the distribution of memories across our lifespan.
I gather you've thought about this a little bit. What's your earliest childhood memory?
My earliest childhood memory is pretty characteristic. It is of an emotional event. We had moved into a new house, and I was riding my tricycle on the patio, and I fell off the patio.
Oh.
So it was traumatic.
You got a boo-boo, right?
I did indeed.
Patricia Bowers, professor of psychology at Emory University, lead author on this study of what happens in the brain where we preserve and also lose our childhood memories. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
So here's a powerful first memory from Connecticut. I remember sitting in my mother's lap just months before she passed away watching the movie Homeward Bound. We were both crying. Listener from Tallahassee, Florida. I was 3. My big brother was taking the bus to his first day of kindergarten. I was so upset he was leaving, I chased the bus naked about a block before my mom could stop me. Happy first day of school, Chris. Well, tell us about your very first memory at 8778MYTAKE. Send us a tweet at The Takeaway if you want to check up on that conversation, see my son Ajax. You can go to thetakeaway.org. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia, and the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable developments in communities across the country.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.